Philippians 4, beginning with verse 4 down through verse 7 is the scripture today. But before I read it, let's context it. Last Sunday morning was a great start to the new year. We not only had the privilege of celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion, but we talked about peace. And whenever we talk about biblical peace, we must always start with peace with God. And that's what we talked about last Sunday morning. That we must be at peace with God before we can experience the peace of God, which we are going to talk about today. So last week, how can we be peace with God? And we talked about how our sin keeps us from having peace with God, but He provided a way for that sin to be forgiven. And through our faith, remember the key verse last week was, now that we have been made right with God through faith, I'm quoting Romans 5:1, we have peace with God. So peace with God is very important. You can't experience the peace of God until you take care of the peace with God. So last week we focused on peace with God, and today and for the next three Sundays we're going to talk about how to have peace, the peace of God. And for today's text, we're turning to Paul in his letter to the Philippians, where he begins and says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate on all you do, and remember the Lord is coming soon." And here's the heart of it. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for these sentences from the Apostle Paul, and pray that You would instruct us about their meaning and how we can apply them to our lives so that we can experience the peace of Christ. For we ask it in His name. Amen. How many of you out there are old enough to remember Ann Landers? Anybody remember Ann Landers? There's a picture of, her name isn't Ann Landers. Her name was Pauline Lederer, but she took the pen name, as did several other people across the years, beginning in 1955, actually. She started in 1955. And it continues to this day in some other newspapers across the country. It's known today as Annie's Mailbox now, rather than Ann Landers. But anyway, that's the lady who pretty much began it in 1955, Pauline Lederer. And when she retired in the year 2002, she was asked by some reporters. She was giving a press conference as she retired. And, oh, I guess I didn't say yet that people from all over the world wrote these, you know, Ann Landers to ask for advice. And she gave this really good advice for all those years. And when she retired, they said, "What is the thing, what do you found out more than anything else from all the thousands and thousands and thousands of letters that you've received? What's the big picture of all those letters you received?" And she said that the big picture was that people worry too much. That's what she found. And she said this, so I'll quote her. "They're worried about losing their health. They are anxious about their jobs. They worry about family concerns. They are whacked out about their neighbors or frustrated with their friends." In short, she summed it all up, her entire career, by saying this: people are looking for peace, but peace seems so elusive. I thought that was pretty profound from somebody who all those years and receiving thousands and thousands of letters, and as she retired and she was putting an exclamation point on her whole career, the thing that she said last was, "People are looking for peace, but peace seems so elusive." That's what Ann Landers said. So, goodbye, Pauline. A recent survey found that these are the top 10 things that we worry about in reverse order. See if I catch you any of these. Number 10, unhappiness. Unhappiness. A significant number of people say they worry about their unhappiness. Number 9, paying the rent or mortgage. Number 8, our physique. Isn't that something? Number 7, related to that, wrinkles or aging appearance. 6, job security. 5, credit card debt. Number four, our diet. And I don't know if that means referring to losing weight or what we eat, but people worry about their diet. Three, low energy levels. I was surprised by that one. Two, savings and or their financial future. I can definitely see that. And number one, anybody take a stab at it? What's the number one worry in a recent survey? Christopher? Well, getting old in general. Getting old in general was the number one thing that Americans worry about today. I was surprised by the absence of worrying about children. Children didn't make the top 10. I would have thought for sure that worrying about my children would, but it wasn't. It was like number 17. The survey I saw went all the way to 25. I just didn't want to go that long, but kids were 17. I thought the kids would have been higher there, because I know that many of us, you never stop worrying about your kids no matter how old they are, right? So what have you been worrying about lately? Don't deny it. I want you to think about it. In fact, we ought to take 30 seconds or 45 seconds just so you can get something in mind that's been bothering you lately, because I really want to deal with this today. The Lord wants to help us with this. What have you been worrying about lately? Oh, we're going to share? Cool. Go ahead. I was just wanting people to... But go ahead. That's marvelous. Because you know what? You might spur us on. So go ahead. All of our hearts beat with yours in that regard. You have a child who's gone through cancer. Yeah, I'm open if anybody else wants to share what you're worrying about lately. I thought that'd be too much to ask to get people to share. Those things are private. We all worry. We all worry too much. The word for today is stop it. Stop it. Paul says, stop worrying. Stop worrying. Jesus said the same thing. There are three occasions when Jesus uses the exact same phrase that Paul uses, stop worrying. It's a word in the Greek which means to be anxious about something, to be focused on something, to become anxious. To worry is a good translation, to worry. And in front of the word, that verb worry is the double negative in the Greek. It means by no means. It's the strongest adversative conjunction there is in the Greek. By no means is perhaps the best translation. No way. It's a double negative. We're not supposed to use them in English, but in Greek they have the double negative just to make the impact of don't do this. And Jesus and Paul both use the double negative there. Don't do this. You remember Jesus is preaching his Sermon on the Mount, and in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount he says this. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothing to wear. Well, that's a pretty tall order, isn't it? It tells us not to worry about food and drink and clothing. A little later in the same gospel, he's talking to the disciples. He's preparing them for their life without him. And he says, when you are arrested, he knew they were going to be arrested and persecuted. When you are arrested, don't worry about how you're going to respond or what you're going to say. In the Gospel of Luke, you remember the story of Mary and Martha? Jesus stops over for a little R&R on his way to Jerusalem at his friends Mary and Martha and Lazarus' home. And they're going to put on a dinner for him. And Martha's in the kitchen, you know, and she's all worried about the dinner party. And Mary's in the living room with Jesus, hanging out, just sitting at his feet, listening to his teachings. And Martha is all upset. And Jesus says to her, my dear Martha, you're worried. There's the word. And you're upset over all these little details of putting on a dinner party. Jesus says, stop worrying. And I want to say, easy for you to say, Jesus, you're God. You know, any problem that comes his way, he could solve it, right? What has he got to worry about? Then there's the Apostle Paul, who says the same thing. Stop. Do not worry. Stop worrying. And I want to say, Paul, you're a human. How could you possibly say that? And I say, he can't until and unless he's willing to walk in my shoes, because if he could walk in my shoes, he would see that I have plenty to worry about. Paul, you're not going to tell me to stop worrying. Who do you think you are? That's what I want to say to him. But we need to understand something. Lest we think that Paul is some kind of Pollyanna Pamby or something like that, we need to understand something. The word worry here is in the present tense in the Greek language, which always implies continuous action. So what he's saying is stop worrying. Stop worrying. You know what I mean? We can't shut our minds off from thinking about things that cause us problems, can we? In fact, thinking about problems helps us to solve problems. So what Paul and Jesus are saying is stop, and I like these synonyms, stop, where are they, cogitating, stop dwelling on, stop fretting over, stop obsessing, stop ruminating, there's my favorite one, ruminating or stewing. What they're saying in here is quit obsessing over this stuff. Yes, you're going to have concerns. Things are going to come into your mind because we care about people and things that are going on in our lives. You can't just shut that stuff off. And that's not what Paul and Jesus are saying. They're saying stop obsessing over those things. That's a little bit different. Stop obsessing and instead pray. This is an easy lesson today, isn't it? Stop worrying, instead pray. Prayer is the antidote to worrying. Prayer is the antidote to worrying. That's all Paul says there. Let's read that again. It's time for it. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Whatever is bothering you, tell Him what you need. And thank Him for all He has done. That always helps us in prayer to thank God for all He's done in our life. That's why we sang the song, For All You've Done, just to give us a little reminder of what He's done for us to take care of our ultimate worry. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That little word guard is an interesting one. Philippi, where he was writing this letter, was a Roman military colony. And Roman soldiers retired. They created the town so Roman soldiers would have a place to retire to. And so he's using the word there used for a Roman garrison of soldiers. And so he's saying this peace that Jesus gives is like a garrison of soldiers that will guard our hearts and minds and keep worry from destroying us. That's what he's saying there. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And I was thinking to myself, easy for you to say, Paul. Sitting in your warm and comfy ivory tower in picturesque Rome with the sounds of children playing in the streets and the vision of pigeons and turtle doves hovering all over those beautiful fountains there and the smell of pizza wafting up through the air. Easy for you to say in your setting, Paul, don't worry about anything. Then I was corrected. I'm thinking about Paul's setting, and I turn to the very first chapter of the same letter to the Philippians. It gives us the setting, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. Paul is not in a picturesque, warm, and comfy ivory tower. He's in jail. And he's awaiting a trial and certain execution. That's the setting for Paul writing this stuff. When you study Paul's life, you realize that he lived a life that you and I don't want to live. He went through just about everything. His litany of pain is recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where he tells us he's worked harder, he's been put in prison more often, he's been whipped time without number, I've faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I've faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I've faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from Gentiles. I've faced dangers in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all of my churches. That probably tops them all. Paul's been through it. He's learned the secret of being at peace in all circumstances. And he's passing on his wisdom to us. And it's simply to pray. It's simply to pray. You could see this in action in Acts chapter 16. A mob quickly formed against Paul, and the city officials ordered him stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. And around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Paul learned through the school of hard knocks that if you want to be at peace in this life, the key to that is praying. If you want to be at peace, pray. And there's the rub for some of us. We believe in prayer. We know about prayer. We've studied prayer. We believe that God answers prayer according to His will, that He hears prayer. But how many of us avail of ourselves of the opportunity to pray when we're anxious? The ironic thing is, sometimes we think we're just too busy to pray. And we are a very, very busy people. Everywhere I look, people are running to and fro, busily engaging life, and problems pile up. And all the while, for some, I don't know if this includes anyone here except me, but for some, we just think we're so busy and we just don't take the time to pray in order to experience the peace that God wants to offer us, the peace of God, the peace of Christ. King Henry IV of France once asked the Duke of Alva, if he had witnessed the total solar eclipse that had recently occurred in Europe. The Duke said, "No, I have so much to do on earth that I have no leisure time to look up into the heavens." And the famous preacher commented that and said, "It's sad to think how heart and time are so taken up with earthly things that we have no leisure to look to Christ and the things that secure everlasting peace." Peace. Too busy to pray. I like Bill Hybels' book entitled, "Too Busy Not to Pray." I've plugged this book before. If you've never read that, if you want a great book on prayer, it covers just about every aspect of prayer there is in a very engaging and lighthearted and yet serious manner. Bill Hybels, "Too Busy Not to Pray." It's not a very long book. It's the best book I've ever read on prayer, and explains the mystery of unanswered prayer, and it tells us how to pray. Excellent book. If you're looking for something to help you to learn to pray, Bill Hybels, "Too Busy Not to Pray" is the title. It's about 20 years old, but it's a classic. Too busy not to pray. We must pray. When things happen in our lives that cause us to be anxious, we have two choices. One, we can begin the process of worrying. Or two, we can begin the process of praying. It's that simple. Very easy message today, just applying it to our lives. Whatever causes us to be anxious, we need to take it to the Lord in prayer. No matter what it is, it doesn't matter. Sometimes we think that, "Oh, this is too little. We shouldn't bring this to the Lord's attention. I can handle this on my own. It's too little. He doesn't want to hear about this. He's got bigger problems to deal with." No, no, no. No matter how small it might be, take it to the Lord in prayer to experience His peace. You're worried about your children? Pray about your children. You're worried about some decision that you have to make in the future, or some decision that you recently made and you don't know how the outcome is going to be? Pray about that. You're worried about your finances? Pray about your finances, your future, your health, your job, your marriage. Pray. Pray. Don't be afraid to take anything to the Lord in prayer. He wants to hear our concerns no matter what they are. A little verse in Peter's first letter to the church, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. If we just remember that, cast all your cares on the Lord, for He cares for you. He wants to hear. That's what He's there for. He's there to pray to. And as a result of praying, Paul says, we will begin to experience peace. The more we pray, the more we'll be at peace. Because the closer we draw to the Lord. I mean, that's what prayer is really, isn't it? I mean, if you think about it, it's an action we take, but when we undertake it, it's drawing us closer to the Lord. And that's when the peace comes. When we become more fully aware that He is with us and He loves us. And sometimes we don't understand what's going on in our lives, but we still know that He understands, and somehow, well, Paul says it's beyond understanding, but the promise is we'll experience peace as we pray because we're drawing nearer to Him. That's what prayer does. It draws us nearer to Him. Some of us had the experience when we were children, and this is what I want to close with, of having a bad dream or a nightmare and running into your mom or dad's bedroom. Anybody here ever had that experience when you were a kid? I could talk about my own experience in this regard. My mom and dad took me and my two younger brothers to see the Ringling Bailey and Barnum Bailey Circus over in Peninsula. I think they got off the train over there anyway. This is about how old we were. It's Randy, Tom, and Steve there, my dad and my mom. This might have even been the day they took us to the circus, because when we'd go somewhere together, my mom would always dress us the same. So this might have been, because this was about the age, I can't say for sure, but this might have been the day we went to the circus. Anyway, that night we were home, and me and Tom and Steve all shared the same bedroom. It's a little small 10x10 bedroom. And Tom began to have a nightmare, and he woke up and he was sitting up in bed, and he said, "There's a lion right there." And he was scared to death. He was convinced a lion was chasing him. He was up and out of that bed and making his way to Mom and Dad's bedroom, and Steve and I were right on his heels. And we went in the bedroom and jumped right in Mom and Dad's bed, and they woke up, you know, and what's going on? And he's talking about this lion, and then he's got his eyes were open. He's hallucinating. It's like he's hallucinating. He says, "Mom, Dad, look. Look at all those monkeys climbing on the curtains." I'll never forget that. It's one of our favorite family memories. "Look at all the monkeys," Tom said, "climbing on the..." And his eyes are wide open. This hallucination goes on for quite some time. When he said that about the monkeys, my dad, he just let out a great guffaw and started laughing. And it kind of began to put us to be at peace, you know, and my dad started laughing. Here we are, you know. And when Tom stopped hallucinating, Mom and Dad pulled back the covers, and we all huddled together there. And when you huddle together with Mom and Dad, who you know they love you with all they've got, and they're always going to be there for you, well, just suffice it to say that it wasn't long before Randy, Tom, and Steve were all peacefully back to sleep, because we were near those who we knew we loved us. And what we're saying today is that God invites us to come to Him and experience that same thing. He's like pulling back the covers. And He's saying, "Join me here. I want to share with you my peace." So my friends, don't worry about anything. That is, don't stew. Don't get obsessive. Don't, you know, rather pray. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He's done. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's the word for today. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for this simple little message from the hand and pen of the Apostle Paul. to remind us to stop being anxious about so many things. And when those times come, to remember to pray. And help us, if we need to, if we haven't already, to develop this into a daily habit, so that we will more and more experience the gift from the Peace Giver, the Prince of Peace, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.